Welcome to the Lex Tech in 10 podcast, a resource for Lexington teachers to learn about innovative technology to use in your classroom, as well as tips and tricks to streamline your workload. I'm Lisa Rhodes, one of the elementary digital learning coaches.
I'm Rachel Kuberry, the district's assistive technology specialist.
And I'm Ann Kim Tenner, the high school digital learning coach.
Just a reminder, the opinions expressed are those of the individual hosts and guests. Make sure you check out the show notes for more information, resources, and other podcasts.
Hello, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 6. Anne, Rachel, and I have a surprise for you today. We are going to count down the top 10 tech tools of 2020. Let's go.
Hey guys, so like Lisa said, we're here all together today to just do a countdown, do something fun for the end of the year. So we have a 10 down to one, sort of David Letterman style, and take it away, Anne, you're the first tool.
Hi everyone. I also want to mention that all the tools that we're sharing have signed privacy agreements with LPS. Feel free to use them with your students. Our number 10 tool are two engaging video tools, Edpuzzle and Flipgrid. These two tools are for engaging video projects, which are especially helpful during remote learning. Edpuzzle is a website that integrates with Classroom, and you can choose from tons of videos from YouTube, Khan Academy, and more, or upload your own. And you can add questions, so the video pauses and asks your students either multiple choice or short answer questions, or you can add a note. You'll see your students' progress and scores on the back end. Flipgrid is a website that also integrates with Classroom and allows students to post video responses to your assignments all in one place. Students can explain their process of a project or a problem through video, and there's an option to allow students to comment on each other's videos as well.
And so these are sort of paired together and for like a video tool, with Edpuzzle being more a teacher delivering content and Flipgrid being more student demonstrating knowledge. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Thank you. Next up is Lisa with another package of tools.
My package of tools for number 9 is Seesaw, Google Classroom, and Zoom, the required learning management system and video conferencing for the LPS 2021 school year. There are excellent videos and materials available on our website. Last month, fellow DLC Julie Spang highlighted Chris Sejaner's thorough YouTube channel, which we will post on our notes, giving amazing short video tutorials on both Seesaw and other Google products. Finally, do want to remind everybody to keep Zoom updated. If your students are having issues with sound, it's a good idea to remind them to completely log out of both their computer and out of Chrome, the Chrome browser, restart and log back in again. 95% of the time, this has been solving the problem.
Awesome. So can you remind us from a district perspective, who's using Seesaw and who's using Classroom?
So Seesaw is required for grades kindergarten, first, and second, and Google Classroom is for grades 3 through 12.
And we're all on Zoom now.
So that's all on Zoom.
Awesome. All right, number 8 is me, and I am one to talk about whiteboard.fi, and to go with the trend that the other ladies had in a package deal, it's really about digital whiteboards. And so what I like about whiteboard.fi is that it's a web-based tool that allows teachers sort of quickly to set up a classroom that they can share out in Google Classroom or in Zoom. The students use a code to join their classroom. It protects student data privacy because it doesn't collect student data. And it allows you to sort of replicate that in-class experience of students having a whiteboard in their desk. And so every student will get a whiteboard that the teacher can see virtually just by looking at the screen. And the teacher can also write on the whiteboard and then push out her whiteboard, his or her whiteboard, to all the kids in the class. So that's a component that you wouldn't have with a traditional whiteboard. This really works well in elementary classrooms to replicate that desk whiteboard thing I talked about. But it also, you know, really lets teachers, I think, we've had some bumps along the way with screen sharing and seeing what kids are doing. So this is just another way to connect to kids who are in a different environment than you are and see what they're doing and share information with them. So if you haven't checked out this tool, it's really fabulous. its supplemental tool to go to the suites is Jamboard, another great digital whiteboard. So, all right. And number seven.
Number seven is Pear Deck with student takeaways and feedback. So if you haven't used it yet, Pear Deck is a slides add-on that makes your slides interactive. You can ask multiple choice, short answer, dragging and drawing questions, and more. And then you can see the students' responses in real time because LPS has the premium version of Pear Deck this year. Two of the premium features are student takeaways and teacher feedback. In your settings at PearDeck.com, you can turn on the option for student takeaways. And after your lesson, you'll have the option of sending each student a copy of the lesson with their answers included for study notes. During your lesson, you can give live feedback to their responses on the teacher dashboard. We have both these features because we have the premium Pear Deck version, and it's great to be interactive with your students.
So, Anne, you talked about the premium Pear Deck. That's for everybody, right?
This year, pre-K through 12 have a premium Pear Deck.
All right, awesome. So if you haven't used this tool, it's fantastic. Next one is Lisa with OneTap/SessionBuddy, but I think Anne might pop in here because this one of her favorite tools too, personally and professionally. So let's hear it, Lisa.
So I'll start with OneTab. OneTab is a free Chrome add-on that, again, is approved for all LPS users, which converts a set of browser tabs into a page of links, then restores the tabs by either clicking Restore All, or you can restore them individually. The list can be shared as a web page with a QR code, and you can drag and reorder the list, and it saves computer memory. It quickly creates a clickable list of websites for students, as well as organizing. So if a student's doing some research and goes to, or staff member is going to a number of different sites, you can click on one tab, save this as a web page, and then refer to it in the future. Anne's favorite is Session Buddy, and I'll just lightly go over it because I'm sure she's going to want to add to it. But Session Buddy, again, is a Google Chrome extension that keeps your tabs, no pun intended, on browser windows and tabs that are open. What it does is it creates a session within a web interface so that you can go back to each session, kind of like a calendar, and look for all of your sessions in one place. It's great for organizing. Anne, can you add more?
My little things, like the one reason why I don't like OneTab is because when you go to click it, it closes all your tabs. And I always forget that. And every single time I'm like, no, all my tabs. And you can just reopen them. What's nice about OneTab is that you can send it to another machine. The one drawback of Session Buddy is it only works on the one device you have. But the benefit of Session Buddy, is, as Lisa was saying, is that it will randomly kind of capture your tabs. So if your computer shuts down, likely it will have captured all your tabs in all your windows for organization later. I recommend it to students a lot for digital organization, which I feel like is one of the concerns students have during this pandemic. And students have told me that it's super useful because they can save a window of their tabs for one project and another window of tabs for a different project and keep their windows, separate windows, organized.
Yeah, and I think that's a great example of using it to do research. And then to go back to something Lisa said sort of in the middle was, if your kids are having trouble with their hardware during remote learning and it's sort of having connectivity issues, that could be because we're asking the computer or Chromebook to do too much. And so to Lisa's point, this is a nice way to store things and sort of free up some computer memory. So keep that in mind too. All right, number five is me, interactive slides. So I can't get enough of Google Slides. And one thing I want people to think about that I've loved this year and really helps us in remote learning with increasing engagement for students is using Google Slides in edit mode for our students to move and interact with the slide deck. And so this can work because teachers can create sort of a hyperdoc or an activity for students, put it out in Google Classroom to create a copy for each student. And then instead of looking at it and present like we typically do with Google Slides, you can look at it in edit mode, type words into, say, a graphic organizer, annotate digital text, move manipulatives around to label a picture, play a game. You know, we have teachers using this in reading instruction. So the background of the slide is a game board that they would traditionally play with a worksheet on the desk and then have stacks of game pieces off to the side. So you can use and manipulate the Google slide itself, or you can put other things sort of off in the gray space on the sides. You can change the orientation of the Google slide. So instead of it being landscape sort of long and flat, it can be portrait like a piece of paper, and then you get that extra space on the side. So this, you know, to the point of all the things we're asking computers to do right now, this is another way to ease up on some of that computer processing, because you could share the doc or the Google slide instead of screen sharing during a Zoom call, and you can see the student's performance by watching the slide deck. So I love interactive slides. If you haven't used them with your kids, it's a great, great tool to look into. And we all use slides, so you already have some foundation there. All right, and number four is teacher made. Let's hear it.
So one of the things that I miss during this pandemic is paper. And one of the things that we're not able to do is hand out worksheets for quick review for students. And so if you have worksheets that you used to print out, teacher made is a free website where you can upload a PDF or a doc and make into a worksheet and post it in Classroom. Students will open the assignment in TeacherMade and then can answer multiple choice, matching, equations, and more. There are lots of different options in there. You can also choose the correct answer, so it corrects the worksheets as well, which is fantastic and a time saver. And it's great for management. Thanks to Reggie Hobbs for sharing this great tool with me.
I agree. All right, next up, Lisa, number three is podcasts.
Well, podcasts, if you're listening to this podcast, you already know what a podcast is. Podcasts help expand your mind, and there are hundreds and hundreds of thousands of podcasts in every category available. What's great about podcasts is as you're listening right now, you can listen at any time, anywhere, doing any activity, and expand your mind, learn something new. Our LexTech Intent podcast uses interviews to spotlight and highlight how technology is being used innovatively throughout the district. There are other podcasts which will focus in on one particular topic. Again, I think podcasts are an excellent tool for every type of learning.
Yeah, and I know, Lisa, we have sort of a list of our favorite podcasts. The Google Teacher Tribe is a technology one that we like. Cult of Pedagogy is a more like educational podcast that we like. Maybe we can link a few of our recommendations in the show notes, because I know the multitasking this year is pretty pervasive for me.
Yes.
And my attention to sort of in-depth reading is still at a minimum. That took a pretty hard hit during the pandemic. And so yeah. I listen to podcasts a lot when I take walks. I'm taking a lot of walks lately as I try to get out of my office and stretch my body in a way that I hadn't early on in the pandemic. So listen to podcasts. They're great. Number two is me again. Read and Write for Google is what I want to talk about. And many of you are probably familiar with this tool. It is also a tool that we sort of purchased for the whole district. That happened before the pandemic. So we have been using Read and Write for Google for 3 or 4 years, maybe even longer. But it really took off this year because we're providing so much more text to students digitally because of how this year is set up. So what this tool does is it increases the accessibility of Google and the Chrome browser in your docs. So most notably, it adds text to speech or read aloud and speech to text or talking through dictation and having your words typed on the screen. Most of us use it in Google Docs, but it also works in Slides and across your Chrome web browser. So it'll like read articles on websites that your teacher sends you to. So like I said, this year has brought on a lot more digital work. And so it's really great to have a tool like this that sort of works on top of things to increase the accessibility for all of our students. This means that our teachers are sharing readings digitally instead of in packets. So students can have that text support right at their fingertips, look up words in the dictionary, annotate text right then and there. So Read and Write for Google is a phenomenal accessibility tool that we all have access to. All right, and our last tool, the number one of this year, none of them are really ranked before, and I don't think in order of importance, but number one really is the number one, I think, guys, and yep. That is Screencastify.
Woo! Yes.
Yeah. Right? This is a tool that I think helps us all do our job better and that we all still like, whereas Zoom, we might be zoomed out. I'm not screencastified out yet.
Screencastify is a game changer. And it is, I will say it is the one of the highlights of the year for me. And the ability to troubleshoot with a video very, very quickly with parents, with students, with colleagues. And it just, it takes a few seconds to do, and there's great editing tools in it, and boom, it's a visual that you can follow step by step. It is my favorite.
Yeah. I use it a lot too. I transition from making a lot of like text-based how-to documents to when people shoot me a question, I make a customized video just for them of their specific question. That's a minute long if the question is simple, 5 minutes long if it's more detailed, showing them how I do something, how they can do something, how to change something to make it work better. So I really like it for a teacher training troubleshooting tool as well, Lisa. Anne, did you want
to? Honestly, I love that it's so versatile because you can use the front-facing camera and just video something from close or far away, but you can also use the in-screen camera or just to your screen. There's so many different ways to use it.
Yeah, I agree. And Lisa said there are embedded video editing tools. And I think if you haven't looked at those and you're using Screencastify, check those out for sure. But at the same time, just using Screencastify and doing a quick record is awesome. And like many of you don't need the to get tied up in the making a perfect video. And that's sort of what I like about Screencastify for me, unlike doing something before in iMovie, it felt like I was making a production. Like that's what iMovie is. And Screencastify just feels a lot more casual in a way that I am not tied up in them making it perfect. So I really like that part of it for me.
But on the other side of that, what I like about it is like what I was saying, how it's so broad is that for students doing projects, this is the only video editing tool that we have. And you can use it on any platform. And we use Chrome, but the students can do it on Chromebooks and they can make projects together. And edit videos together, which is a really great opportunity for them.
Yeah. And it's really easy to share.
Yes.
Compared to some other options. Like it's designed for sharing. So like that I think is much more seamless than some other tools. So I agree. All right. That brings us to the end, ladies. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we shut down for the 2020 year? Thank goodness. And come back fresh in 2021.
Well, and thank our listeners. We do have a faithful following of people who do listen and love suggestions and would love to hear about some things that are going on in different classrooms at different levels, just so that we can celebrate all of the very, very hard work that everybody is doing in the new year and come back together with some great ideas.
I agree.
We're looking forward to speaking to everyone in 2021 with a vaccine and some good health in the new year.
Awesome. All right. Thanks, guys. Have a really great vacation and we'll see you in 2021.
Thank you for listening to the Lex Tech in 10 podcast. Don't forget to reach out to any one of us or your building digital learning coach for questions and assistance. That's what we're here for. Also, check out our website, gg.gg/LexTechIn10, where you can find show notes and other resources. Do you have an idea for a future podcast? Would you like to be featured on a future podcast? Email us at LexTechIn10@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.